Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Samach Beis. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud, where the line begins Bishloima Bayis Minkara Tzurasai. As you recall, we learned yesterday in the Gemara that Kisha Olu B'nei HaGoyla, in the times of Ezra, when the Yidden came up again after the 70 years of Golus, and they came to rebuild the Beis Migdash, to build the second bias. So it says that they increased the size of the Mizbeach, which was previously 28 by 28, and they added on four more Amos, and they made it 32 by 32. What's the reason why they increased it? The Gemara gave a couple of reasons. Number one, because unfortunately, the Eish Min HaShemayim that was so helpful to consume the Karbonos during the first Beis HaMikdash was no longer effective, even though there was an Eish coming down Min HaShemayim. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu took away the potency of that Eish, and therefore did not do a good job in consuming the Karbonos, so they had to increase the size of the Marocha. The Marocha was previously 20 by 20, now it's 24 by 24 by adding on four more Amos on each side, on all the sides. Good. Then the second reason why it was given by the Gemara is because they decided that the shitan are those pipes in which you go and pour out the niske hayayin, as well as during the sukkah time, nisach hamayim, that those pipes should not be outside of the mizbeach and lead to a bar which is adjacent to the mizbeach, but rather they should go and lead to a bar built into the body of the mizbeach. So therefore they went and expanded it, especially in the southwestern corner. That's where you pour out the wine and the mayim, and therefore they expanded it to be able to go and build and construct the bor within the mizbeach itself. And then at the top of the
oven. Just remind me, they had a great Nevi'im and everything else in the first Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden they came the second Beis HaMikdash, they thought they knew better than what they...
Well, and I hear you. Initially, it says in the Torah that it's supposed to be Mizbach Adoma Tasali. So they originally dash and Mizbach Adoma means that it should be totally Adoma, and therefore should be no room for any wine to pour in. And then they discovered they had a different Mesoira, that Shtia is Kachila, and just like Kachila is on the Mizbech, the Shtia should also be on and within the confines of the Mizbech. Why they changed their mind, so to speak, Veitzomish. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now in Samach Beis Amud Aleph. And then finally they decided that the basis of expanding the Mizbeach is because of a pasuk that it says V'yem David, where that pasuk makes a hekish of the Mizbeach to the Beis Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash itself. Just like the Beis HaMikdash, the size of the Heichel and the Kodesh Kedoshim was 60 by 60. They decided that the Mizbeach could be up to a maximum of 60 Amos, and therefore they allowed for the expansion from 28 to 32. So now the Gemara says, Bishloim Abayis Minkara Tzurasai. Now in the times of Ezra, they had to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They want to go and build it exactly on the fortifications and on the place where it was built originally. So there was no problem in being able to identify where the original bias was built, says Rashi, because they were able to identify the Yesoidois HaChoymois underneath the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. They were able to identify the foundations down below. Even today you can go and see the foundations down below, at least of the Koisel Maravi. At the Koisel Maravi you have that place inside, when you go inside in the cavernous part of the Koisel, you can see down below, with there's a glass on top, you can go and see at least 10 layers of stone down below. So they were able to go and tell where the old Beis HaMikdash was by looking for the foundations. El Mizbeach min Oyadi. The Mizbeach either had no foundation down below, or if it had, it was kind of slim, because after all, the Mizbeach is not a full building, so it didn't need to have deep foundations. And that being the case, they didn't know exactly where the Mizbeach was previously. So what do? It's Omer Rav Luza. Ra'u Mizbeach bonui u'michoil sara gadol u'yimin u'makrav olav. They were able to see the Mizbeach that was built. Which Mizbeach there was? There was no Mizbeach there. So the Marsha says that the Mizbeach that we're referring to is that there's another Chazal in the Sechus Chagiga that the Beis Hamikdash Shalmata is exactly parallel to the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala up in Shemayim. So they were able to see exactly where the Beis Hamikdash Bashemayim and where the Mizbeach was, and in fact Michal was doing the Sheiris upstairs. So they were able to, based on that, determine where the Mizbeach is here down Lamata. Now what was Michal Sarah Godel being makriv on that Mizbeach? It doesn't say. But this is a Tosis all the way at the end of Masechtas Menachos, for those of you that have both Masechtas here. In fact, you go down, I'm sorry?
Only two
Gemaras, okay, where you can look at it if you want. The final Tosis, now I didn't know this on my own, but Avik from the Koryl showed this to me. The final Tosis in Masechtas Menachos tells us that Michoel, Sar, etc., Sar HaGodol, it was either being makriv to Nishamois of the Tzedikim. Yeah, exactly.
What page?
Yeah. Last blot in Masechtas Menachos, which is Daf Kuf Yud Amid Aleph, it says, "Umichol Sarah Godel Oymen Makra Olav Carbon Midrashis Chalukim Yesh." Yesh Bisha Oymen Nishmoiseim Shel Tzadikim. That what is being makriv on the Mizbeach are the Neshamas of Tzadikim. That's not normally something that you would be makriv, but of course these things are beyond our intelligence and understanding. So the neshamas of tzaddikim, they're having a real aliyah on that mizbeach up in Shemayim. These are fiery sheep, whatever that means. Now this is already now halacha lemaisa. We say in Shemoneh Esrei, "Ba'avoida the ishe Yisrael usfilosa mehera behavas kal barotzei." The question is, where do you go and put the dot or the semicolon? Do you go and put it after Bavoida, and then you say V'ishay Yisrael Lusfilosa Mahira Bahavas Kal Baratzoin, or V'yeshom the Koyadal El V'hashiv Savoid V'isach V'ishay Yisrael? Period. Lusfilosa Mahira Bahavas Kal Baratzoin. What's the difference between the two? According to the second shot, what we're doing is we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Hashem this avoid the Beisach of Yishei Yisrael, return the avoid to the Beis HaMikdash, return the Kavanois on the Mizbeach, let's bring it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you every single day, please bring back the Beis HaMikdash. According to the first pshat, however, since there is a Mizbeach up Lamala, which is now functioning, Michoel Sarah Godel is busy with it, so then we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Isha Yisrael is filasa mehera bahavas akav barotzayin, be makabel the Isha Yisrael, which are ongoing now upstairs, together with the tzvilas of Klai Yisrael, be makabel all of them barotzayin. And if you notice, there's a base here at the end of the Toises, which tells you, look up the Taz. Taz the Turizov in Shulchan Aruch brings both of these pshatim, and that's why, ideally, it would be good to have in mind both pshatim when you are saying moedim, or saying ritzei, that it's referring to both the future Kavanos to be brought to Mirchem today, tomorrow, as soon as Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, and or it's referring to the ongoing Ishe Yisrael upstairs by Michor.
I once heard of Shad Ishe Yisrael Rahman Raslan that the Kavanos of the Yidin, this one and that one.
Yeah, unfortunately, also good pshat. V'Yitzchak Nafcha Omar. They saw the Eifer of Yitzchak Avinu from the Maas Akeda. They were able to determine where that was, and that's how they knew where the Mizbeach was. When they went back 70 years later, they were able to go and still smell the beautiful scent of the Ketoidus throughout the Bayis. However, when they reached the place of the Mizbeach, there they didn't smell the Reach of the Ketoidus, rather they smelled the Reach of the Evarim and the Aymarin that were brought on the Mizbeach. At the time of Ezra going up, they had three Nevi'im. Who were the three Nevi'im? Says Rashi, Chagi, Zechariah, and Malachi. The last three of the Treyasa. And what did they say? Echad Shehed Lehem al HaMizbeach. One was made about the Mizbeach. The Echad Shehed Lehem al Mokim HaMizbeach. So in other words, the second one was telling them exactly where it was, just in case their noses weren't working that day and they couldn't determine where the Reach of the Evarim was emanating from, or if they couldn't find the Eifer Shel Yitzchak, or if they couldn't, it was a cloudy day and they couldn't see where Michoel was being makriv. The second one of the three Nevi'im, he was the one that told them exactly the Mokim Mizbeach is. So what did the first one do?
Yeah.
What's the Echad Shehei Lehem al Mizbeach? Jok Rashi, he was made on the size of the Mizbech that the Olam was concerned, can we increase it from 28 to 32? And he says, yes, increase it up to 60 Amos. Like we had in the Gemara at the end of yesterday's part. Third one told him that you can already start bringing your Kabbanas even before the base of Megdish is fully rebuilt. What's the reason why you can go and bring those Kabbanas, says Rashi? This is along the lines we spoke about a couple of days ago, because he held the Kedushas Abayis and the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Kitchu l'shata v'kitchu l'os l'ovoy. So even though there's no bite, you have to have a Mizbeach. But you don't have to have a base of Migdish to be able to go and bring your Kabbanas. Masnis and Tana, in the Brayis we learned slightly differently. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shloish and Neviim, Olu Imoim and Agoy, like we just said. Echa Cheilem al Mizbeach, V'yal Mekoyim al Mizbeach. In other words, the first one did the job of the first two, according to the first Lashon. Ve'echa Cheilem, Shemakrim al Avo Bishen Bayis. That was the third Navi before. And what is now our third Navi? Ve'echa Cheilem al Atoira, Shaksav, Shetikosev, Ashuris. Instead of continuing to write Sifrei Torah in Ksav Ivri, you should rather write in Ksav Ashuris. All of our Sifrei Torah today are Ksav Ashuris. If you go to old museums or museums that have old Sifrei Torah, you can go and find sometimes a Sifrei Torah written with Ksav Ivri, and even the Shamroinim and the Karoim, they still have some Sifrei Torah which are written with Ksav Ivri.
You sent, with the Vayal Madana exhibit at Sotheby's a few years ago that you sent us to, you mentioned they had their Samaritan.
They have suggested it. I didn't send.
No, you suggested it. But I remember seeing you. They had their Ksav Ivri.
Ksav Ivri, exactly. That's very, very rare, but there are some.
Like the Dead Sea Scroll.
It's similar. Yeah. Similar. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hanarabat. Now again, we're talking about the Mizbeach. Teren, the Kevesh, the Yisoid, the Ribua, the Akvin. Every Mizbeach has to have.
Construction requirements.
It has to have the koronos, it has to have the four blocks on top and the four corners. It has to have a kevish, it has to have a ramp. It has to have yesoid on the two sides, and mitash tikkul am on the other two sides. Ribun has to be exactly square. Those are ma'akiv. Midas orkoi, midas rochmoi, midas kemase, ein ma'akvin. However, if you make the mizbech longer or wider or taller, that is not a problem. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, you can even make it shorter, but make sure it's not smaller than the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. The dimensions of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, those are the smallest possible dimensions. We'll see Mechim shortly. Anyway, Frank Gemara went on immediately, how do I know that the first four are Ma'akev? Zokimon Mafunam across. It's in the Pasuk HaMizbeach. The word HaMizbeach appears a number of times, and each time it says HaMizbeach with a capital H, to go and tell you not just a Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach. Now, where do you have by these four? So Rashi brings Psukim by all four. If you look at Rashi, Shekomach, Shenema Mizbeach Li'akev, it's about two, three, four lines below our Gemara, where the Rashi brings, by Karnak says, Karnas HaMizbeach, by Yisoid it says, Yisoid HaMizbeach, the Kevish says, Al Pnei HaMizbeach, and by Revuah, Ota Revuah Yeh HaMizbeach, so each time he uses that extra hay, the extra hay comes to tell you that this is the Mizbeach, that's the definition and the construction of Mizbeach. Komokish Nem HaMizbeach Li'akiv. Pray Gemara! The measurements of the Oyrach, Roichim, and Kamasa there doesn't say necessarily the Hamizbeach. Right, well, let me ask if that's the case. Kior, the Rebbe, the Soyb of the Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, Hachanamid, the Ma'akev, Tichsib, and Asata, Oysa, Tachas, Karkav, Hamizbeach, Ma'ata. Now, what's my Kior? Now, this Kior doesn't mean the Kior of the Kanoi. This is Kior, and Kior means the ornamental designs that they went and drew on top of the Karkav HaMizbeach. What means Karkav HaMizbeach? Back in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash Mizbeach, we're talking about the Mizbeach of Moshe. The Torah says that they made Reshes HaMizbeach, Nevuv Luchois Ta'asa Oysoi, that on the wall of the Mizbeach they had a lattice work, a very nice mesh. Rashi sometimes says that it's like a sieve because it had holes in it, but that's what mesh work looks like, and that's what lattice work looks like, and was made out of nechoshes, out of metal. And immediately above that, that's where you had, that was midway on the Mizbeach, and higher than that you can go and do the Zrikas Dam on the Mala, below that you can go to the Zrikas Dam on the Mata. In the Mizbeach of the Beis Salom, the Beis Migdash, they didn't have that type of lattice work, they just had the Chutzasikra Bim Koma. Okay, that's all very, very exciting. Now it says, where do you go and put all of that lattice work? So it says in the pasuk, "V'nesata oisa tachas karka v'mizbeach v'mata v'hoisa hareshes ad chatzi hamizbeach." Aha. By the way, for those of you that have Reb Tuvit's fine fancy words, where you had number four hamizbeach, the printer did a beautiful job and brought all four psukim under number four, and maybe that's why it's number four. See, it says v'sisa es hamizbeach. And then afterwards he says, "Ravua yiam isbeach, meretam yidah karnesam isbeach." And then it says, "Right to the right to isbeach, yisoyram isbeach, etc." Anyway, I'll just get. So they brought all the psukim, but all under the same number. Fine. Anyway, beginning now to the karkov of isbeach umata. The question is, how do you define the word karkov? So according to the way the art scroll explains the Gemara is that both Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda learned that there was a panel of sorts that stuck out, that protruded from the side of the Mizbech. It wasn't a major protrusion, it was just very ornamental, where according to Rebbe, that on that panel, they had nice designs, ornamental designs of some sort, floral designs. According to Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, it was basically blank, but it also stuck out from the Mizbech. It was not sticking out like a ledge, just sticking out like one panel
molding,
coming out.
A molding, like a...
A molding, oh, like a let's call it a molding, fine. Anyway, so it was, according to both of them, it was for design purposes as opposed to functional purposes. But according to Rebbe, it was more ornamental and with a beautiful design and pictures and what have you. Well, according to Rebbe Yehuda, it was clay. Anyway, so now the question is, since the Torah refers to that as the Karkoiv HaMizbeach, which immediately below that, that's where the Reshes began. If that's the case, for Tamara, so are you telling me that's all to Ma'akev? Tichsim v'nesata oisatachas HaKarkoiv HaMizbeach Mamata. V'tanya, and what is the definition of the word Karkoiv? V'zeo Karkoiv, Rebbe Oymer Zeh Kiyur, those are the designs. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Oymer Zeh HaSoiviv, that's just the protruding molding panel without any particular designs. Anyway, you're going to tell me that that, in fact, is Ma'akev, because it says HaMizbeach. And yo. The sign you will end the price of. Oisa yoim nivgima keren mizbeach. We'll explain what that means in a moment. Ve'viu bosho melech v'sasmu. V'loi m'pnei shekosho l'avoida. Ale shelo yiroi mizbeach pogum. The mizbeach should not appear to be damaged. Shekom mizbeach she'ein loi. Keren, the kevich, the yesoid, v'ribua. Those are the four that we mentioned in the previous price. It's possible. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda oimer afa soivev. Soivev is also possible. Now that was Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. And before we had Rebbe that said kiur, says Rashi in the third wide line, Umid Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Nishma le Rebbe, the kiur mi'akev. The Enochanami, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the soivet is ma'akev, this panel which is sticking out, it better be there, because it says Hamizbeach. And although the Brisa doesn't mention Rebbe, but who had done the same thing Rebbe holds, that if it's missing those floral designs, it would also be ma'akev.
Now what?
The soivet that we normally think of is a borrowed term. In other words, no, here there was no soivet. You're thinking of the Beis Elamim, the Mizbeach of the... I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. It's not the Mishkan soivet, that's the Beis Mikdash soivet. Here it's just borrowed. But getting back to the beginning of the Braisa, Oisayon, which was Oisayon. So if you look at the first of the wide lines of Rashi, a very famous Gemara, or infamous Gemara, if you will, Oisayon, Shenosach, Koyin Tzidoiki, Mehachag al Raglov, Miragmu Kalaam with their Esroyim, Kinamrin and Besukkah. What's going on over here? Throughout the year, they always had Nesach HaYayin. It was only one time a year on Sukkot. Not one time. That means only one period of time throughout the year. Sukkot time, they have the Nesach HaMayin. How do we know there's Nesach HaMayin? The Gemara Masech Tanis is three different ways. Hasech Nesach, Mem Yud Mem, etc. But bottom line is that, especially Nesach HaMayin. However, the Tzidoikim didn't agree because there's no Buffet. It's only based on Drashas Chazal. And the Tzedokim didn't learn the Daf HaYomi, and they didn't learn the Drashas Chazal. So they didn't believe in the whole...
Any oral law.
Any oral law. So therefore they didn't do the Nisach HaMayim, but the Kohen had to do the Avoid, and they gave him a kos of Mayim, so instead of drinking it, or instead of putting it in, the pouring it through the Shitin, what he did was he poured it on the floor on his feet, and the whole Olam got so upset that they threw their esrogim at him. Anyway, as a result of throwing the esrogim, guess what happened? The Mizbeach got damaged. And that's what it says here in the Pasuk, in the Braisa, that they had to quickly do a quick fix. And the quick fix was that they went and put in a bull, shel melach, some salt to go and fill up the holes, whatever the holes were in the Mizbeach. However, that really didn't do the trick. That's not a permanent fix. Says the Braisa, even now, you couldn't go and do the avoida on the Mizbeach since it's nifkam, and this bull, shel melach, didn't do the trick. The reason why it did, it's covered from the Mizbeach, the people, when they're looking at the Mizbeach, they shouldn't say, oi, look at all the damage here, there, and everywhere. So they did a quick patch-up job, but this was not a permanent fix.
How are they okay. able to, how are all these people able to see it?
From a distance.
A very far distance.
We're talking about here in the Ezra Sisra. And we're talking about in the big Azara where the Kohen was standing, and the first 11 Amos from north to south is where the Israelim stood. So there were quite a few, because you're talking about during Ali Leregel. So a lot of them were probably squeezing there, squeezing in themselves inside the Beis Hamikdash, even though it says in Chazal, Me'olim Le'omar Odom Tzar Li Hamokim. So maybe it wasn't squeezed. My father's friend Ruchi used to say that it doesn't say that they weren't squeezed. It just simply says, they didn't complain. Everybody was so happy. Everybody was so happy to be there in the Beis Hamikdash. Nobody complained. Anyway, Zolzana, beginning back to our Gemara. So the Gemara tells us that, in fact, the Soivev or the Kiyur are also Ma'ak. Tanabat.
Kiyur, you mean the Lapsford?
Okay, so let's, I appreciate that, and thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. So let's think about the construction of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. At the 5 Amma point, remember the Mizbeach was totally 10 Ammas tall, right, according to one of the two Mandiyam. Right. Torah only says 3, but we're going according to Mandiyam, the whole was 10. And so therefore the midpoint would be at 5 Ammas. Immediately above that 5 Ammas, from 5 Ammas to 6 Ammas tall, there was one Amma of the lattice work, which the Torah calls the Reshes HaMizbeach. That's a Reshes. Where was that Reshes placed? It was immediately below the Karkov HaMizbeach. And that's the Lashon HaPasuk. If you happen to have number 6 here on the Amud, Vayas LaMizbeach Michpor Masa Reshes Nechoshes. They made a Reshes Nechoshes, a nice lattice work thing. Where was it? Tachas Karkovoy Mumat Adchetzioi, beneath the Karkov. So therefore, the Reshes started from Chetzioi, from the 5 Amma line, went up one Amma to the 6 Amma line, and that the Reshes, this beautiful lattice work, now ended. That's where the Karkov began. What is the Karkov? The Karkov was not a Sovev that you were able to walk on, like you had in the Beis Hamikdash time, but rather the Karkov was either nice floral designs against the wall of the Mizbeach, or Rashi says there was a protruding panel, not to walk on, but just again for design. And you heard from Barry before, maybe there's something like a molding. Anyway, also for ornamental design purposes, apparently according to Rebbe, it was more pictures of trees and this and that, who knows what. Rashi says, Tziurim Shoprochim, Tzitzim, Kloim, very nicely designed, very nicely pretty, mit a shiny artist, etc. Well, the country of Yehuda was more or less plain, but also stuck out in some sort of ornamental fashion. That was immediately above the Reshes HaMizbeach, and since the Reshes ended at the 6 Amma line, from the Reshes and up, starting in other words from the bottom of the Karkov up to the top of the Mizbeach, was 3 Ammas, and that's why it says in the Torah 5 by 5 by 3, according to that Mandiyama that we had in the Gemara. So that gets you to 9, and on top of the 9 then you had the 10th Amma, which of course were the 4 Koronais and the 4 Koronais.
So I mean, the 3 said was from where to where?
We're starting from the floor, yeah, until you get to number 5, then you have your Reshet, which goes from 5 to 6, yeah, from 6 and higher for a space of an Amma, you had your Karkov,
right.
That Karkov was ornamental, but on top of the Reshet, from the Reshet ending until the Gaga Mizbeach was 3 Amas altogether, which included the Karkov and 2 blank Amas on top.
Okay.
Now you're at the top, you add the 4 Koronais and the 4 Koronais. Good?
Yes. Fine. The gear that was mentioned above.
Gear, it was immediately above the Reshes. And that gear was either the form of nice designs or just... That is what's called the Karkov. The Karkov is that skior or that soivet. And the soivet we're talking about is not the Beis Hamikdash soivet. It was an ornamental slight protrusion. No problem. Tell everybody. Now the Braisa tells us that Karkov has a totally different definition. Ezo Karkov, you know what a Karkov is? Ben Karen the Karen, Mokim Hiluch, Ragle Kehanim Amma. That the definition of Karkov means that on the top of the Mizbeach itself, walking from Karen to Karen, that space between one Karen and the other, that was the Karkov, and that was used for the Mokim Hiluch, Ragle Kehanim. They used to walk between each one of the Karanis. And that space was an Amma, because since each Karen was Amma al Amma, so by definition, from one Karen to the next Karen.
What do we call this till now? We had a different name.
Well, the reason why we had a different name is because the Gemara is going to change it in a month. Frank Dimar, Otto Kahanim, Ben Karen, the Karen, Haba Azli, did the Kahanim when they were on top of the Mizbeach, when they had to go and be busy with the Maroch and the Avoida, they walked between one Karen and the other. That cannot be. Why can't it be, says Rashi? Because what do they do every time they get to the corner? There's no path anymore. Right, the Karen is blocking them.
It's pasnish to jump over, to walk over it.
Right, or to step on it. So therefore, what are we going to have to do? Says Yimura Ela'im, you're absolutely right. What the Braisa means to say is, Ezeo Karkiv, it's Bein Karen Le Karen, and at the Vav, Umokim Hilach Ragle Kehanim Amma. Which means that on top of the Mizbeach, you had two Amis which were set aside, called the Karkiv. As we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, these two Amis were not plain level with the Marocha and the rest of the Mizbeach, but they were somewhat submerged, a little level below, maybe a few inches. The reason for that, as the Gemara will explain, as we'll see shortly, is because we were concerned that since the space on top of the Mizbeach wasn't all that big, we're only talking about, according to the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk, 5 by 5. Since the Marocha is there in the middle, you only have now two Amis to play with on all sides of the Marocha. Chulil v'chas, a Kohen Chulil could go and fall down. Could trip, could fall, and therefore...
He could fall into the Marocha, he could stumble.
Yeah, that would really be bad. But presumably he's trying to be careful from going into the fire, so he might fall the other direction. And then falling down 9 Amis to the ground, 18 feet, is dangerous. So therefore it was somewhat submerged, it was somewhat lower level, and the wall of the Mizbeach, from all sides, says Rashi, acted like a ma'ake cotton, like a small fence, like a small enclosure. Nishka Groysa fence, a bissel fence. So that the Kohen wouldn't lose his footing, he would feel, oh, I'm here at the edge, I better be careful not to go for it. Good. Anyway, therefore the definition of the Karkov is now those two Amis at the perimeter of the Mizbeach on top. Now the question is, Freik Dimar, oh, so now getting back to your question before, between Karen and the Karen, we just defined that previously as the Amma of the Kronos. And then we spoke about that in the next Amma is the Mokim Hilich Ragle Kahanim. And that's what this price is talking about. That between the Kronos you had an Amma, and then you had the next Amma, from Arum and Arum, the Marocha, was also an Amma. That's where the Kahanim used to walk around when they wanted to go and put the Gizri Eitzim, or the Aymarin, or the Eivori HaOyla. They would be walking around the Marocha in that Amma. So they had two Ammas altogether, which was called the Karkov. Ah, didn't you tell me a moment ago the Karkov is defined as the Kiyur together with the Soveh that's on the outside of the Mizbeach, not on top of the Mizbeach? Zokti Mora Anachmar. Emo Mokim Ilhagamik Amma. Ah, Voksif Tachas Karkuvay Mumata Ad Chetzioi. And therefore, you're talking about Karkuvay Mumata Ad Chetzioi. That sounds like the side. Like the Kiyur and the Soveh. Doesn't sound like on top of the Mizbeach. So make up your mind. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Treyav, they were talking two parts of the Mizbeach which are both called Karkov. Chad Lenoi, one which is purely ornamental. That's the one we spoke about before. Which goes on the wall, on the side. Above the reshes, above the lattice work, exactly. That was strictly for design purposes. Either it was more floral in design, like Rebbe said, or it was just a plain... panel that protruded, molding that made it look pretty.
Also known as the Kiyur.
According to Rebbe, that's called the Kiyur. Right. According to Beis we just called the Soviet. It surrounded the Mizbeach, and it was for ornamental purposes, but it didn't have any floral designs, so it wasn't called Kiyur, it was just called the Soviet. And the other one was on top of the Mizbeach, so the Kahanim shouldn't trip and shouldn't fall down, and that's why all the way on top, it was somewhat lower level than the Marocha and then the outer walls of the Mizbeach. If you look at the Rashi, two lines from the bottom, the beginning of the line, they made it on the side of the Soviet, they made it a little bit lower, like as a ditch, Dover Muat, Lears Lehem, Sposoi, so that the edge of the walls would be like a hekif market cotton sub. They shouldn't trip, they shouldn't slip, they shouldn't fall. So that was the karka on top. So bottom line is, if somebody stops you and asks you, what's the definition of the word karka? And you tell them that it has two definitions. One was the karkav on the side of the mizbeach, which is what the pasuk is referring to, that the reshes on mizbeach was tachas karkuvay milmata, and that karkav was either kior, full of floral ornaments and designs, or just a plain panel sticking out, which wasn't so designful, or such ornamental, full of floral full. And then there was another karkav which is on top of the mizbeach, where the kehanim would walk around between one keren and the other, as well as the next amma next to it, the mokim hilich rag the kehanim. Both of those ammas were somewhat submerged, somewhat lower, so that the kehanim would chas v'shalom would not fall and would not trip.
Discussing here the mizbeach shal Moshe.
We're talking about strictly shal Moshe.
Okay, because obviously the mizbeach olam is that had a
much wider,
and
much longer.
And so big that they walked on the outside of the top.
Exactly right. Everything so far we're only talking about Moshe Beinu, and that's why the psukim that we're quoting tachas kakul mamata are the of Moshe Beinu. In fact, by the beis olam, the mizbeach and the beis mikdash, there was no reshes. So all of that is just in the times of Moshe. Good. Now we said before, in the previous brayse, midas orka, midas rochva, midas kemosi, ein ma'akvin, those are not ma'akiv, omer ma'akiv. Ogovad shelo yifchasenu mimizbeach shasa Moshe. The smallest you can make it bigger, and you can make it bigger up to 60 amas, smaller up to what? Until Moshe, not less than Moshe. The kama, how much is that? Omer of Yosef. Amo. That the mizbeach cannot be less than an amma. Now, when Rabbi Yosef said that, then the people who were sitting around started mocking him and sneering and snickering.
Supposedly it was 5 amas.
Oh, and they said, Rabbi Yosef, you forgot a pusik in Chumash. Chomish amis oyre, chomish amis roichat. And remember, we had one man Yama that said it was double, not 5, but it's actually 10. Because you start from the middle, like a radius. Exactly. I know for radius you can say by a square, but fine, we understand what we're talking about. Anyway, but the point is, and you're just saying 1 amma. So Abaya quickly came to the defense of his Rebbe. Omale Abaya, Dilma Mokim Arocha Komamar, Efshati Gemein to Mokim Arocha itself. Which, of course, was 1 amma by 1 amma if you hold it home as Vech was 5 by 5. Because the outer one was Kronis, the next one Mokim Hilach Rav Yekahanim, so that you had 2 on top, 2 on the bottom, 2 on the right, and 2 on the left, and 1 in the middle is Mokim Arocha. Maybe that's what you meant. So now Rav Yosef first gives a big compliment to Abaye. Mar de Kavar Abahu, you're the Maikam in Efeshtate. He's the only one that's understanding what's going on in the Shir. The others, he was a little bit disappointed with. And Rav Yosef, unfortunately, gave them a shtickle insult. Kari Alayu, he called the other Chavra, he called them the B'nai Keturah. Was in the B'nai Keturah?
I don't think that's fair.
Whether you like it or not, Abazoi Shtay.
The defense of the Talmidim.
Hey, Rabbi, you said
Amr. The guy said Amr.
You dark people from a dark country say dark things, you know.
If you look at the top Rashi, well, that's generic about everybody. He went to one specific chevra sitting there in the Bismarck. Anyway, so b'nei keturah b'nei avrom atem, you attack it from avrom avinu. I don't deny that. Why did he go and say davke b'nei avrom? Why did he go and say that you're not from Zera Yaakov? He could have said you're b'nei Yosef. If you're b'nei Yosef, then why do you have to go and talk about b'nei keturah? So I think it's the Maharsha that says that the reason is because they were all gemalit, and so therefore, if he's going to say b'nei Yosef, the Christians don't have Mila, at least not part of their tradition, if you will, not part of their religion. But B'nai Yishmol do have. So don't go and say, how do you call us B'nai Yishmol? And later, we're Yidin, we have Bris Mila. I can even tell you with the Sandik and the Mayor.
So it was a calculated put down.
It was
before Islam emerged. This is not even.
He was not trying to take away their Yiddish. Right, he was just trying to say.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Those are the Mayor of the Keturah. This reminds us of a famous story with the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal. That it was after the war. Yidden were coming back from camps and refugee camps and DP camps and this one and that one. Anyway, a fellow comes to Satmar Rebbe, and the Satmar Rebbe, what's your name? Chweiss, Yanko Groinem. Where are you from? Whatever. Then he asked, Nu, from Vanen Kimtir, what's your Mishpucha? Ich bin ein Einikel from Avrom Avini. I'm an Einikel of Avrom. So somebody who said, from Belcha Ba'ab? From which wife? Which wife? Good, so that was also as a nektar. Anyway, continuing on. Since we mentioned the story of B'nai Keturah, we're going to mention now a similar story. B'nai Achsi Reb Tarfon Habiyasvi Kamei Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon was giving a shir. He was learning the shir together with his nephews. And his nephews, says Rashi, didn't open their mouth up from the beginning of the shir to the end of the shir. So either they were dozing off, they were sleeping, they were thinking about other matters, but they didn't open their mouths. Tarfon says, I have to make them participate somehow, somewhere, somewhat. Pasuk Yomar. So he says, you know what? This is a famous pasuk by Avraham Avinu. Yosef Avram v'yikach isha u'shma Yochni. Is there such a pasuk that the wife is Yochni? Amri Leih, they said, no, it's not Yochni. V'yikach isha shma Keturah. Keturah k'sif. Oh, as soon as they opened up, they said, Keturah. Says, Reb Tarfon kori aleim b'nei Keturah. Oh, my kinder over here, you remember the b'nei Keturah, you remember about Keturah, you remember it wasn't Yochni. Who says Yochni? Rashi says, Tami, just threw out a name. You could have said John, you could have said Billy, you could have said whatever. Sprinzer, exactly, just threw out a name, Yochni. And they immediately realized, no. It's kori aleim b'nei Keturah, chevra. There's a shir. You have to be attentive, you have to participate in Yishmak. Right?
He was ranking out his own family.
His nephews.
Yeah.
His sisters. No, it was his sister's children. Reb Tarfon was a Kohen. So the thing I'm wondering is that were these, was his sister married to a Kohen, or was this, we don't know. But it was his sister's children, right?
And their phone, that doesn't make
it. It wasn't the same.
They're not nephews?
They're nephews, but they're not nephews like fraternal nephews.
Okay.
Not the same yichus.
I have a friend, and I asked him, how's your uncle doing? It's not my uncle, it's my wife's uncle. How long have you been married? About 40 years. It's still my wife's uncle. All right, if that's the way you feel about your nephews, that's for sure. Oh, fine, it's in time. Amra ba'ya bar huna, amra b'chama bar guria. Gezirin she'osa moisha orkan ama v'roich ben ama v'oivyan kemachak goydish sa. Gezirim are referring to the shnei gezirei eitzim that you always had on the marocha to go and burn the avarim of the oila and the aymerin of the regular kabbonis. So those gezirei eitzim couldn't be too long. Why couldn't they be too long? Says Rashi, because the kahanim have to be able to walk around the mizbech. And remember, we're talking about in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, where the whole marocha is one by one. So therefore, make sure the gezirei eitzim are one by one. They shouldn't stick out. So much so, as we're going to see now, first of all, it means va'oivi kemacha goydish so, that means the height or the thickness was that of a leveler out of a saw. So means the saw of tvua. When you have a big mound of tvua and you want to level it out, you use an instrument, a tool, which is called a machak. That machak has various thicknesses, and they're saying that the thickness of the gziri eitzim, the length and the width was one amma, so it shouldn't protrude beyond the marocha. As far as how tall they were, with the height, that was like the thickness of this leveler of the mound of tvua. Amr b'yirmiyah b'amma geduma. Rashi's b'amma geduma means that it was a shorty amma. So in other words, it wasn't an amma the full length. It was 0.95. It was smaller than your regular amma. Amr Rav Yosef says, I'm not happy with what you're saying. V'lav ha'ini desayin, didn't we learn the b'raisa? Al eitzim shel eish asher ala mizbeach. Shlo yu eitzim yoitzim in a mizbeach klom. And the way Rashi learns pshat in this Gemara is, it didn't have to be an amma kitzara, just as long as it was an amma mitzumtzemes. See, Rashi said, "Lav ha'ini desayin." The amma geduma lomeli. What do you have to shorten the amma? Just make sure that it's mitzumtzem. It shouldn't be too much. It shouldn't be 1.1, but it should be one. Finish. It doesn't have to be 0.95. And that's why Rav Yosef wasn't happy. That's how Rashi learns pshat. Others learn pshat in the Gemara that Rav Yosef is telling Rav Yirmiyah, you're not telling me any grois chidushim that you're telling me be'am ha'gedumah. For lav ha'ini desayin, isn't that what it says in the pasuk? Shlo yu eitzim yoitzim and ha'mizbeach klom. You got to be careful. So of course, to be careful, you have to make sure it's the am ha'gedumah, that size. Yeah. Anyway, so in other words, pshita. Or another way they learn pshat in the Gemara is that Rav Yosef is telling him, you're focusing on the maroch itself, that it shouldn't be greater than one amma. Don't focus on the marocha. Focus on the mizbeach. And the mizbeach from the mokka marocha, you could have had up to 3 ammas, theoretically up to 5 ammas. Just make sure that the eitzim shouldn't go beyond the mizbeach, but it could go beyond the marocha. Anyway, it's a different pshatim. But Rashi learns, like we said before, that Rav Yirmiyah said it should be a little bit shorter, and Rav Yosef said it's not necessary. It could be just up to the point, but not larger. Tanan Asa. So now this is very well known that we've learned about many times, that there was a ramp going up to the Mizbeach, and it was coming from the Dorim side, from the southern side of the Mizbeach.
We're in the Beis Hamikdash now, right?
Now we're going to Beis Hamikdash, right? Shkoyach. And there was, by the way, a Kevish in the times of Moshe Beinu too, but here we're talking about the Kevish in the Beis Hamikdash. And how long was the Kevish? 32 long. The width of the Kevish was half of the size of the width of the Mizbeach, and it was smack in the middle, so presumably you had 8 on one side, 8 on the other side, and 16 down the middle. The Menorah Mili goes on. How do we know that it's on the Dorim side of the Mizbeach? Maybe it was on Tzofing side, maybe it was the Mizrach side. How do you know it was on the Dorim side? What does that mean? The word yerach literally, of course, means a thigh or a leg. And therefore, if a mizbeach, figuratively, if you're going to tell me that it has a leg, then it also has to have a head and a body. And if the yerach, if the thigh or the leg of the mizbeach is on the tzofing side, where's the rest of the body of the mizbeach? Must be on the dorim side. And the dorim side, that's where the ponim would be of the mizbeach. Or if you're thinking of a person, betzuras on mizbeach, the person's ponim would be to dorim, and the yerach, the thigh, would be to tzofing. She yerach betzofing uponim bedorim. And since the Pnei HaMizbeach is Bedarim, and you're putting up the Kevish on Pnei HaMizbeach, that's why it's on the Darim side. Right, Gemara. Who says, Eim Yerach B'tzafin Upanav B'tzafin? As we'll see in the Gemara in another moment, who says, if you're talking about a figurative person lying down like the Tzuras HaMizbeach, who says that he's lying? Maybe he's sitting up, or maybe he's standing up. And if that's the case, both the Yerach and the Panim are together B'tzafin. And therefore, maybe the Pnei HaMizbeach is B'tzafin and put the Kevish there. Amarava, Rami Gavra A'ape. We're talking about a person who's lying down on his face. In other words, he's supine, he's on the ground, prone, supine. Amle Abayis, Abayis Adarav, Efshapung Faket, Trit V'Ois of Gavra. Who says that he's lying down? Why don't you say that the person is sitting up? And if he's sitting up, he's B'tzafin, B'tzafin. Amle, it says in the Pasuk, Revua Yamizbeach, Revua Ksiv. The Revua means lying down. And in fact, the Targum Lashon of Roivet Bein HaMishpasoyim, Roivet, says the Targum Lashon, Roivea, Ravua. And that's what the Gemara is going to bring in another line, the word Roivet, or Rovutz, means lying or crouching, and that's also the Lashon Ravua. We need that the Ravua should go and tell us that the Mizbeach should be square, not that it's lying down. So the Gemara Miksiv, Meruba, if it would say Meruba, then you'd be right, it means square. By saying the Lashon Ravua doesn't mean square, it means lying down. Rovutz would mean lying down. You have and just like an animal lies down, a person lies down. See here also, it's lying down. It doesn't say Rovutz, it says Ravua. And therefore, the Mashmachim, by the fact that it doesn't say Meruba, and it doesn't say Rovutz, because Baruch Hu wanted to give both definitions to the word Ravua. Number one, that it's square. And number two, that you look upon the Mizbeach as if someone is lying down, and therefore the punim is to tar. That was pshat number one. How do I know, Menorah Mili, that the punim, meaning that the Kevish is the Dorim of Mizbeach? The Tana Maisli Mahocha. But the Tana brings it from another Raya, from a Raya. Sadia, Budoimer, Omalei Seyu, Pnois Kodim. The Malois, meaning going up on the Kevish, Pnois turns towards Kodim, towards the east. And anybody going up the Mizbeach goes towards the east. So now, if you have your Kevish down below on the Dorim side, and a person's going up towards the Mizrach side, he's going towards his Yemin, he's going towards his right, right? You're walking up the Kevish, the ramp, turn towards your right, and that's where the Mizrach is, and that's what the Pasuk is telling you when you're going up the Mizbeach, go Kodim. Mizracha Kedma. Kedma Kodim means the eastern side. Okay, so that's the raya that the Kevish is on the southern wall. Freitimor, what's the raya? They mismoil the Mizrach. Who says, in this Pasuk, it doesn't talk about Yemin. The Pasuk only talks about the Kedma Mizracha, the Kodim, which means the eastern. So maybe what you should do is go and build the Kevish on the Tzofin side, on the northern side of the Mizbeach, and instead of every time going up to Terach Yemin, go up to the Mizbeach, Terach Smoil. And then, two, if you're going to go up Derech Smol, you're going to be Lemizrach, right? Turn the Mizbech around, turn the Kevish around. Don't have the Kevish going up the Dorim side, have it going up the Tzofin side. So now, you no longer have the Mizrach on the right and the Marav on the left. It's going to be the other way around. Now you're going to have the Mizrach on the left and the Marav on the right. And if you're saying you have to be Pneis Kodim to the Kedma Mizrach, to the eastern side, fine, you'll go up Smol. And we'll have a new Chazal called Pinashat Apoinel Yuel Derech Smol. Instead of Derech Yemin. That cannot be. Why can't it be? The Tani, because I have a bright Tani Rami by Cheskel. Yam she'os shloima oimer al shneim oser bakar. Shloima Melech made as a special pool to use as a mikveh. And that mikveh, this pool, was standing on 12 bakar. We don't mean live bakar, what we mean betzuras a bakar, that it was a nice ornamental design. It was either made out of metal, maybe made out of stone, but it was in the form, the shape of bakar, and there were 12 altogether. Shloisha painim tzvayna, 3 towards the north. Shloisha painim yama, 3 towards the west. Shloisha painim negba, south. Shloisha painim mizracha, to the east. That's in a counterclockwise way, if you're thinking about it, going from north to west to east to south to east.
It always bothers me. I've seen sometimes in Sukkot these decorations that evoke this mm-hmm. thing. It always bothers me because it feels like it's, you know, it recalls the Maase Egel, to see Bakar in the Beis HaMikdash.
Sometimes it could be a reminder of what we did, and we always have to be on guard.
Maybe. Like the Machlis of
Koyl. Good. So what do I see from this that you're going Derech Yemin? What means Derech Yemin? Because if you're starting out on the Sofin side, which is the first one, and then you're making your way to the Yam, to the western side, you're going Derech Yemin. You're going right. You're standing there on Tzofin. You're now going to... Now, a person like... If we're standing on Dorim, and we're looking towards Tzofin, and we see the person going from Tzofin to the west, to the Yom, then you say to yourself, he's going left. However, looking at it from the perspective of the person that's walking or going, he's going from the Tzofin side down to the Marav side. Let's think of the Mizbech, right? You have the top of the Mizbech, which is on the Tzofin, the northernmost end. If a person was standing there in the Sovev, on that northernmost end, and now he's going towards the west, he's turning towards his right. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. From the earlier Pasuk, I learned that the Kevish has to be Pnei Kodim. That when people are going up on the Kevish, are always going towards the Kedma Mizracha, towards the east. But I don't know whether the Kevish was on the southern wall or on the northern wall. So that I know from the Pasuk by Shlomo Melech's pult, by his mikveh, that people went on it, to it, encountered it, etc. They always started from the north, going to the west, etc.
Counterclockwise,
which was in a right portion going towards the Yemin. So I take the Yemin from the second Pasuk, I take the Kedma Mizrach from the first Pasuk, and I put them together, I mold them together, meld them together. Kol Pinah Shatapoina should be Derech Yemin LeMizrach. Fine. I need the pasuk to go and tell you how the pool, how the mikveh was constructed. So what are you telling me that the pasuk is coming to tell you about Derech Yemin? The pasuk is telling you north and west and east and south, etc., etc. Why does the pasuk have to go and repeat the word poinim 4 times? It would have been enough to go and say shloisha poinim tzafayna, ushloisha yama, ushloisha negba. By adding the word poinim, comes to tell you kapina shata poinim. The Ela Derech Yemin LeMizrach always go in the right side, not the left. Good. Shor Reb Shimon Yosi Ben LeKunya Esreb Yosi. Oimer Hoy Reb Shimon Yechoy Avi Yesh Ben Kevish LeMizbeach. He asked him, "Is it true what Reb Shimon Yechoy said, that in between the Kevish, the ramp, and the Mizbeach itself, there was a small airspace, a very narrow airspace? In other words, they didn't touch each other, but there was a space in between." Don't you agree? Everybody agrees. How do I know? But look what happens in the Pasuk. I have here a hekish bosser to dam. Just like by dam, you do bezrika, you gotta go and spritz the blood by throwing the blood. He also, you go and throw the bosser. How do you throw the bosser? The kohen who is standing on the marachim, when we say bosser over here, either we mean the evorim of an oiler or the aimerin of regular kabbanis, he would stand on top of the kevesh, and he wouldn't get onto the mizbeach itself, but since he had to go from kevesh to mizbeach, And he threw it. The reason why he threw it is because there was this space in between. That's the raya that there was Aver ben Kevish, the fact that he had to throw. Omaloi, so he said back to him, I agree that you have to throw. Mashani Who says you have to go and throw all the way from the Kevish? Let him go onto Mizbech itself, onto Maroch, and let him throw from the Maroch itself onto the flames, onto the fire. Omaloi. As part of the maracha, inside, mamish, inside the middle, that's where it's really red hot cold. On the outside, in the perimeters of the maracha, of course, it's not as hot. That's only by definition. Every fire in the middle is going to be hotter than the outside. So, where is he going to go and throw it into? Everybody's going to attempt to go and throw the basar into the middle of the fire so that it should be consumed quickly. Ah, if that's the case, I don't need a posik to go and tell you that you have to go and throw. If the kavonis posik was that the coin stands on the marocha and throws it, that's a double posik, he has to do it. Because there's no other way. Because if you're going to get too close to the marocha, you're going to be burned. So you have no choice. You have to go and throw it. So you don't need a posik to go and tell you this hekish abas v'adam. So the hekish abas v'adam comes to tell you, even if it's not so dangerous, you're not on the marocha itself, you're sitting on the kevesh, even then, you're supposed to go and throw it. I used to do an avir. Oh, from that talk you learned it was an avir in between. That's why.
Why can't they be touching each other? And he's still be standing on the contiguous.
I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara is learning from this pasuk the way the pasuk goes with Bas Vadam, that the reason for this weaker was because in fact there was a space. You're right. Theoretically, you could throw from down below also, but as only Gemara can learn, that's the kavana of the pasuk with the Bas Vadam, with the Zrika, that there was a space. Yes, I never saw it inside, but I heard it that that's the reason why in certain homes on Friday night when they throw challah to all the participants. To me, it always looked very, very strange. But they say that it may be based on this question.
I heard that was because you serve when somebody's in Avelis. You serve them in Avelis, so you throw it as a sign it's not Avelis. That's what I heard.
All right, good. Come back. I'm sure all these reasons are given to me.
Rav Schneer Cutler was in Yeshiva, and he was in Maitzi, and he has two sons, Shragi and Aaron, next to him, young son under Bar Mitzvah.
Right.
He loved them some challah, and they caught it. He said, put it down. You must put it down. They shouldn't catch it. Shouldn't take it.
On a fly.
Right.
Ah. Okay. So give it back and throw it again?
They shouldn't be given. They should take it from there.
Understood. Okay.
So they passed on it.
They passed it on. Oh, beautiful.
Give out. It's a grounder.
It's a pass.
Yeah, in the past. The pass. That passed very well. This passed this. Pass your. Okay, next article. Rapopo Omar. Kidam. I agree with the hekish of Bosa Tadam. Kidam ma dam aver karka mafsikoi. Abosa aver karka mafsikoi. In other words, he's bringing another raya to the aver yesh pein kevish from his bech. What's the raya? That just like when you do zrika, the kohen has to stand at least a couple of inches away from his bech. He can't be next to his bech and throw. There has to be an aver. If you're throwing, you got to have an aver. You have to have a space. And by Bosa, they also threw it. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, Omer Rav Yehuda. Shnei kvashim kitanim yoitzim in a kevish. Shebehen poinim yisoid ula soid. But the Gemara is telling us that besides the big, big kevish that we always talk about, the 32 by 16, in addition to that, there were two mini kevashim, two mini ramps, one to the right and one to the left. The one to the right went to the soiviv, and the one to the left went to the aside. The one to the right went to the soiviv to be able to go up the soiviv when the kohen had to go and go around the Mizbeach. So he would walk on the side of it. How did he get to the side of it? He couldn't go and take a helicopter. The Kevish itself was in the middle of the Mizbeach. He'd have to kind of jump over. And he's talking about 8 amos. You're not just talking about 3 inches. So therefore you have the Kevish extending from the Kevish itself, a smaller Kevish, and that went up an incline towards the side of it, and the coin would go on to the side of it from there. The other one had a downwards incline, going downwards towards the side. What was that used for? So that when the Kohen was finished doing the Mesinas Adam on the 4 Koronos, he would then go down that Klenshiger Kevish to the ground to be able to do the Shvichas Hashiraim on the Yesoid Maravi, which faced the Beis Mikdash, faced the Oil Mait. Anyway, They too did not actually touch the mizbeach, but there was a malei nima, was a space in between. Why? Meshim shenem, it says in the pasuk sodid. Push in the pasuk sodid. V'shachar oisa yerecha mizbeach, tzofoyle v'nei Hashem, v'zok v'nei harak ha'am, nizdomi al mizbeach, sodid. So you want to learn sodid, that you should be able to put around a thread or a band around the entire mizbeach. You can only put a band or a thread around the whole mizbeach if there's nothing attached to the mizbeach. If you have these kvashim, which are attached to the mizbeach, then you wouldn't be able to put that band around because it would be an obstruction. So therefore there had to be space in between. So theoretically you can go and do a sabbath, you can put a band or a thread around the whole mizbeach without anything obstructing. Rabbi Vo Amar, he says, I don't learn it from the word saviv, I learn it from the word ravua. Why? Because if the kvashim are in fact attached to the mizbeach, so it's no longer square in the right and the left. You have protrusions which are considerable. These mini ramps were only mini in the sense that it didn't go up and not so long and not so wide, but it was also at least an amur or two to be able to get onto the soivim without falling off, chas v'shalom. So they were also of substance. So that would destroy the whole square shape of the mizbeach. That's why they had to be removed, at least like a hair breadth, so it wasn't actually attached. So what do I have to have two drushes, one saviv and one revua? It's a mikhtar saviv, it's a mikhtar revua. Because the Rechman is saviv, I'm in the ugly megal. I might have thought saviv that you can go and build the mizbeach in a circular fashion, like one of the synagogues here in the west side, that it's in a circular fashion as opposed to square, and maybe that's what the mizbeach looks like. Saviv, rum and rum. Because the Rechman revua, it's got to be dafka square. Because Rechman revua, have you a minute to orach v'kotten. The word revua itself could mean rectangular as opposed to square. Instead of 5 by 5, it could be 10 by 5. Instead of 32 by 32, 40 by
30. Very similar.
Exactly. Exactly. Because Rechman revua, have a minute to orach v'kotten. Orach v'kotten means that it's long on one side, narrow on the other side, it's rectangular. Because Rechman is saviv, which gives you the connotation that it's got to be the same on all sides. Good. Tananas. We're just going to finish the Mishnah. We'll finish this whole sugya. Hakevish ha-mizbeach, shishim ushtayim ha. Shishim ushtayim. The combination of from right to left, from beginning of the kevish to the end of the mizbeach, was altogether 62. Frankly, how could that be? Hani shitim ba-bo'ava. Because after all, this was 32 and that's 32. If you add 32 plus 32, you get to approximately 64. How do you have 62?
Because it was 2.
Oh, exactly. So you know the answer. Any nimtzei pareach ama al yisoid, the ama al soidiv. Meaning that there was an overlap. The last two amis of the kevish, as it's approaching the mizbeach, under inside it was cavernous. Apparently, it was hollow underneath, at least at some point, and therefore it overlapped over the side and on the side. It probably fit in very nicely as a hand in glove, hand in hand, one on top of the other. So therefore, you didn't have a duplication of those two amis. 62 altogether. Amar Amar Bracham Kol Kivshei Kvashim Sholish Amis Li Amma Chus Me Kivshei Shul Mizbeya Shoyi Sholish Amis Umechza Mi Etzba Ushlish Etzba Bizachrusa. Now this is very, very simple. For those of us that are nervous about arithmetic, it sounds a little intimidating, but this is really very, very simple. What the Gemara is telling us is that Halavai, we should have those plans. Mitchum, we're going to find them. They're going to be revealed to us very, very, very soon in Yetz Hashem. Anyway, we're not going to have to build the Bismigish because the whole Bismigish is going to come down in fire. So the plans are just going to be for the scholars. The mice, it's all going to be finished at one time. Okay, anyway, getting back to Agua. The Kivshi Kvasha means your normal ramp. If you're an engineer and you're designing a ramp, normally you go three amos to an amma, meaning that your hypotenuse, think of it as a triangle, the angle, the slope going up is shalish amos in length. From the end of that three amos going straight down is one amma in height. So as you go three amos,
two amos.
Well, I don't mind two, but you have to go three.
For every three amma.
You go another amma.
Exactly.
Six, 72.
Therefore, since the ramp was altogether 32, so let's start, I think, let's assume it was 30, make life easy. So it
means by three.
And then how much would you have?
Approximately 10.
So then by the time you get to the end of your kevish, it would be 10 amas tall. However, that's not the case, because even when they reached the mizbeach, it was only 9 amas tall. Remember, the Koranis were just an addition to, kind of just an added feature on the top of the mizbeach. But the mizbeach really ended at 9. So therefore, we're not talking about 30 ending up 10 high, it's only 9 high. And it wasn't 30, it was 32. So, what's the reason why the kevish of the mizbeach was different? Explains Rashi. because the normal ramp of 3-to-1 ratio is somewhat steep. The Kehanim that had to go up the Mizbeach had to go and take them the heavy Evorim, Kivedim, and therefore it would be difficult carrying the heavy load and having to go at a steep incline. So therefore they made it a little bit more lenient, if you will, and the slope was a slower slope, not such a heavy, steep slope. Sorry?
Flatter. It was a flatter.
A flatter slope. Oh, flatter. Anybody have another synonymous term? A flatter slope. Good. So what was, in fact, the ratio here? So now let's think about it. Since the whole Mizbeach was 32, not Mizbeach, the Kevesh was 32 long, and when it ended at a height of 9 Amis. So instead of doing 30 over 10 like we were doing before, it's now 32 over 9. 32 Amis, 9. Okay, so now if you divide 9 into 32, how much do you get?
3.5. Tell me, doesn't go 3.5. roughly 3.5.
Roughly 3.5.
Becomes a greater slope.
Talk about greater or flatter in a moment. Anyway, everybody can experiment at home. But let's just do the arithmetic, which is very, very simple. And if you're taking 32 over 9, 9 into 32 obviously is not a full number. 9 into 27 is a full number, that would be 3. Everybody agrees? Okay. Now you take 32, subtract 27, and you're left with 5. Which is a... Not 100%. Oh, that's close. It's over. It's over. Because it's 3 and 5 ninths. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Good. 5 ninths. Now obviously 5 ninths is not a half. Let's go and make it now into 18ths. How much is 5 9 in 18? 10 18ths. How much would be a half? 9 18ths. So it's slightly more. It's 1 18th more. So far we have 3 and a half. You haven't helped us out the whole time. Do you agree? 5 9th is 10 18th. 9 18th is a half. So far we're 3 and a half. We have 1 18th more. Good. How many etzbois are there in an amma?
6.
Now, etzbois, not tefachim. How many etzbois? So tefachim we have 6. How many etzbois do we have in a tefach? Now that depends. An etzba.
We have a small and a large.
Exactly, and a middle. We have the thick thumb, we have the middle fingers, and then we have the pinky. So shishteit, for those that are interested in these things, the thumb, you have 4 in a tefach. Regular finger, you have 5. Pinky, you have 6. Let's talk about the thumb. There are 4 thumbs in a tefach. If you have 6 tvachim in an amma, 4 thumbs in a tefach, 4 times 6 is?
Approximately
24. Everybody agrees?
Yes.
Good. 24. We spoke about that there was how much more than the 3.5? 1/18. So let's take 1/18 times 24. That gives you 24 over 18. 18 into 24 is 1. And you have how much remainder? 6. That's 6/18. How much 6/18 is a third? Perfect. So you have now 3.5 amis with 1 1/3 etzbois. Let's see the Gemara. Chut mikiv shishol mizbeach sheyesholish amis ummechza. 3.5 amis. The etzba and 1 finger. Ushlish etzba and 1/3 finger. The zachrusa. Zachrusa means in the wide finger, meaning in the thumb. Because if you're talking about the other fingers, then the chayim wouldn't shim. That would be 5 or 6. And therefore, we're talking about 1/3. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Zagib.